Basically, it's Perek Tes, Pasik Yud Zayin. The Asharim, Shalom, the Akuv, the Talmon, the Achimon. We have four people. The reason why I'm going back to this pasuk because when we get a few psukim later, we're going to refer to these four people, and we're going, in fact, to refer to the son of Shalom. These are four very important Levim. They were in charge of. They were the gatekeepers. They were not just in charge of standing guard, because there were 212 people, or there, according to some opinions, there were actually 210 different places to stand guard. It's very interesting. There's a discussion how many places they actually stood guard, but they were these four people were on top. They were the administrators. They had the cabinet position of making sure everyone would be present and were responsible for the guards. The Hasha'arim, so they, again, the four names are Shalom, Yaakov, Talmon, Achimon, Achihem, and their brethren. Shalom Harosh, and their brethren, meaning the other long list of people that participate in guarding, and the one that was in charge is Vachiyem Shalom Harosh, that their brother Shalom, which was one that was the first one of the four, he was in charge of all of them. He was in charge of the three, and in turn was in charge of all of the people that served beneath them. Pasuk Yudches V'yadheina B'shar HaMelech Mizracha, that until this point in time, now this is difficult expression, it's going to follow what it says in the Mitzulah, so I think in the Radak it says the same idea, that the Adhein, everything that's being done now in the Bayis Sheni is exactly the same the way it was done during the Bayis Rishon. So the Ad until now, until meaning even there was a gap of 70 years when there was no Beis HaMikdash, but we are resuming, and we are continuing the way we left off during the time of the Bayis Rishon. So the Adheina B'Shar HaMelech Mizracha, there were people that stood at the eastern gate. Now the reason why it's necessary to make this point that things were being done the same way is because there was no real Melech. The king entered through the east. No one entered through that gate. There was a special entrance for the king. Can you imagine if you have a shul, and there's a special entrance for the rabbi, or the president? This entrance is only for the rabbi. Everyone else has to enter through the regular doors, but the rabbi enters through a special entrance. That's how it was in the Beis HaMikdash, through the special entrance for the king. Except that on Yom Tov, the king would enter with this, through the same entrance as everyone else. The pasuk in Yecheskel, towards the end of Yecheskel. So the chiddush is that now during the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was no king. There really was no king. There were Zerubbabel, there was people who were leaders, but they did not have the halachic status as king. They could not do, they could not just kill people. They could not seize people's assets. They had no special power, as last week's parasha, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech. So if that's the case, there really is no purpose of having a guard by the east gate. Since this gate is miyuchad for the king, we should lock it up, bolt the doors shut, put on padlocks, and that's it. Because there is no king until they will have the ability, they never really did, to have a real king to establish Malchus once again in Klal Yisrael, then the gate is locked. No, nevertheless, there was a guard that stood at that gate out of covet, out of yearning. I guess this fits into the theme of Divrei Hayamim, that everything they were doing was a means of trying to awaken the people to want to bring the Geula, to bring the Shechina back, to restore Chumalchus, to restore the Aron, the Shechina, and all the miracles that occurred during the time of the Bayis Rishon. So they put a guard at that gate. Let's see over here, Pasuk, we'll go through the whole Pasuk at Hena. And this was done until now, Bashar HaMelech Mizrach, along the gate of the eastern gate, Hema HaShayarin, the four people that we mentioned above, they were the gatekeepers, Lamachanos B'nei Levi, for the camps of B'nei Levi. Let's see, Pasuk Yitzayin Yitzchesin and Mitzudos, Pasuk Yitzayin Shalom Rosh, Al Shalom, Hanisko HaRisha, Yom HaShu HaYol Rosh Nekulam. We have four very distinguished Levim, and they were all in charge of everyone that served beneath them. Shalom was the head of these four. Pasuk Yitzches V'yad Heino, Rotzul Aymar, Kimo Sheyasa David Ushmuel. We're going to have a pasuk, a few pasukim down, that are going to discuss the role of David Ushmuel, Es Hashoyarim, Kein hoyo kol yimei amidas habayis v'adheina bebayis Hashem. Just like David and Shmuel established the gatekeepers, so it was now during the time of the Bayis Sheni as well, Bashar. What was part of the role of David and Shmuel? Lamod lishma b'shar shamelch bo haponim mizracha, to stand guard at the gate in which the king enters, and this gate is on the east side. Hema shalom v'chaderav. Hoyu Shayarim Share Har Habayis Shehi Machane Leviyah. They were the gatekeepers along the gates of Habayis, which is the Machane Leviyah. Okay, let's go Pasuk Gites. Vishalom ben Korei ben Evyosof ben Korach ve'echov Leveis Aviv HaKorchim Al Meleches HaAvoda. They were in charge of the work. Shemrei HaSipim LaOhel. So the four people we had before, they were in charge of the east, it appears. This person, long name, Shalom ben Korei, ben Avyasaf, ben Korach, from the Korach family, obviously does not mean Mamish, the son of Korach, because we're dealing over here hundreds of years later, and his brethren, Leveis Aviv, according to their family, HaKorachim, the family, the branch of Korach, they served in the Meleches Vavoda. They were the guards of HaSipim Lo'ol. Sipim means mezuzah, a doorpost. It's another expression referring to being a gatekeeper. Va'avosehem, and their forefathers, their fathers, Al-Machaneh Hashem, Shomrei Hamavos. So here it's possibly doing something very important. It's telling us that what they are doing now in telling the Bayis Sheni parallels what their forefathers did during the Mishkan. There are many interpretations of what it means, the Shomrei Hamavo. I'm going to learn that very simply. It refers to the Mishkan. Okay, that's what the Mitzvah says. But let me just give you more and more, I think, a richer interpretation of this pasuk, is that what Ezra is trying to tell us now, that during the time of the Bayis Sheni, what they're establishing is a direct continuation of what was during the Bayis Rishon, and going back further to the time of the Mishkan. Just like in the Mishkan, Machane Leviyah surrounded the Mishkan was in the center, and around the Mishkan were the Leviim, and then around the Leviim were the different sections of the Golem of Klal Yisrael. So that's what's being established right now as well during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Here we have these people, the family of the Korchim. They're doing the Meleches Avoda. They're in charge of standing guard by the gates. Here, Shemrei HaSipim LaOhel. We're going to translate the word Oel here to refer to the Bayis Sheni. And what they're doing now is nothing new. It's just a continuation of what their forefathers did during the time of the Mishkan. The Avosehem, their forefathers, Al Machane Hashem, they stood guard in the same places. Shemrei Hamavo, they were the guards of the entranceway. In the Mishkan, you do not call it the Hasipim. You didn't call it doorposts, because there were no real doors. It was curtains. It was curtains which marked off the Har, the area of the Mishkan. So it was called the entranceway. What was then the entranceway now became the Shemrei Hasipim. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk Yutas. Lebei Saviv, Mishpachas, what exactly did they do? They stood guard by the entrances to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Unlike the four people mentioned before, who stood guard by the east, they stood guard where the king used to enter. They stood guard by the other entrances to the Azara, va'avosehem, rotzolaymar, uchemo shahoyu avosehem lumunim al machne Hashem, just like their forefathers did the same thing on the machne Hashem, v'hoyushem luval yavo mi bepischei hazara shimachne shchina, just like their forefathers guarded in the past, according to the Mesudos, this means the Bayis Rishon. Just going back a couple of generations, during the time of the Bayis Rishon, their forefathers did exactly the same thing. That we should make sure that no one who's not allowed to come enter should not enter. Someone who's tummy may not enter. That's what they did now. Again, the other Mefarshim, I believe it's the Radak, says it refers to the actual Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. They are following in their footsteps. Okay, Pasuk Chof. Now we have another person mentioned. Upinchos ben Elazar Nagid Hoya Aleihem Lefanim. Hashem lefanim Hashem ino. Now, what in the world is this pasuk doing here? So, let's see the pasuk first in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says Nagid Haya, Haya Mimuna al Ava Sehem, Hakarchem, Biyamim Hakadmonim, Ki Hashem Haya Imo, Ulaze Nifchal Nagid. We're giving you a history of Klal Yisrael. This family of the Korachim, Korach family, who in ancient times stood guard at the Ohel of the Azara in the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Chotzer HaMishkan, who was in charge of those Levim who stood guard? It was none other than Pinchas. Pinchas, who? Eliyahu. Who is Pinchas? The famous Maaseh Pinchas, where he killed Zimri ben Salu when he had relations with Cosby. He went and he took his sword and he killed them. So he was in charge of, he was a Levi. Pinchas was a Levi. And he was elevated to the status of a Kohen. He was given Nasati Leitz Brisi Shalom. He became a Kohen. He became Eliyahu Hanavi. And he lived for a very long time. And he used to be in charge. Once we're mentioning already this family, and we're mentioning the descendants who are serving now in the Azara, and we mentioned that their forefathers did the same thing in previous generations according to the Mitzvot of the Bayis Rishon, according to other Mefarshim during the time of the Mishkan. We mentioned that, by the way, they used to have a very important person who oversee their service, none other than Pinchas ben Elazar. He was a Nagida prince, Hoya Alehem. And then the Pasuk says, by the way, Lefonim Hashem Imo. In the olden days, Hashem was with him. What does that mean? Lefonim Hashem Hoya Imo. So Rashi in the Medrash tells us that the Shechina left Pinchas. He was downgraded because he was not Mater Neder for Yiftach. Yiftach went to war. We all know the famous story. And he made a Neder. If he succeeds in war, he will donate to Hashem the first thing which comes out of his house. And what came out first out of his house? His daughter. His daughter came out, and therefore she married. So it's questionable what exactly it means. According to the literal translation of the pasuk, he actually sacrificed her, human sacrifice to Hashem. Chazal tell us that's not necessarily so. It just means that she was secluded and she never married. Now he made a neder. There was a solution to the problem. The neder could have been annulled. So why didn't he go to another neder? It's not clear, but it appears from Chazal that Hashem had a complaint against Pinchas, who was alive at that time. Pinchas lived for over at least 300 years, according to Chazal, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until at least the time we know for a fact that he was alive during the time of Pelegesh Begiva, which was 300 years later, and before Pelegesh Begiva was the time of Yiftach, and Pinchas did not go and visit Yiftach and enter a discussion to bring out his problem, to be matir and null his vow. Hashem, yeah. Neither one. I don't remember. I don't know the details, but neither one to make the could be. They have that. With Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya. Neither wanted to make the first move until he became sick. Chizkiyahu became sick. So therefore, Yeshaya went to visit him in the Kecholah. Yeah, so each one they also had. They want to make the first move. Who should go to who? And there was no one went to each other. And the end was that his daughter suffered a horrible tragedy by not marrying when she could have, or she was actually offered as a sacrifice, whatever that means. And therefore Hashem had a complaint against Pinchas, and as punishment Hashem removed the Shechina from Pinchas. Therefore it was only Lefonim Hoya Lefonim Hashem Imo, but not anymore. Scary that although he was a celebrated great person in the Torah, and he was given the Bris Shalom, and Eliyahu comes to every single Bris. I just saw him today. I went to a Bris today. I was buying. Thank you. I was buying Bris, so Eliyahu Hanavi was there. But the pasuk says it's not the same.
So, what was the consensus with wearing tefillin?
I wore tefillin. I kept my tefillin on almost till the end, until after the bris, and then I took it off before the. I have to go up and say kaddish. After the bris is over, they say kaddish. So I don't want to go up because you have to go up to the front to say kaddish. No one's wearing tefillin, so I don't want to be the only one wearing tefillin.
Well, I don't know.
People wear tefillin during the bris. I mean, it's a long drawn out process until
whatever.
Yeah. The bris says you're supposed to wear tefillin during the bris. So during the bris, I wore tefillin. It was just the very end when they were saying the Kriyas Hashem. I should have kept it on.
But, you say the eighth parak?
Yes, I did. Parak Vav, not the eighth parak Vav. Sixth parak. I said it. Yes, I did. I said it. Choneini Hashem ki umlal oni. I'm feeble. But umlal means I've been circumcised. It's very appropriate. Okay, but let's go back to the topic. Hashem removed the Shechina from El Pinchas, and that's what it means here. Lefonim Hashem imo. Let's read the Rashi. Rashi says, yeah.
When Hashem kept appearing to Eliyahu was Pinchas. When Hashem did appear to him, this was the end of his life. I mean, physical presence on earth. Was the Shechina back to him?
I don't know how it works. Let's just see what it says in Rashi. Let's see what Rashi says. Snabi, first, that's another Chazal. That Pinchas morphed into Eliyahu. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Shenisnabe lefonim. That simply means that he was a prophet. Pinchas was lefonim. In the previous generations, he was known as a very great person. He was a prophet. V'raboseinu amru, they put a negative twist on these words. Hu Pinchas hakoin v'al shleihiter liyiftach nidro nistalka hashchina mimen. He was punished. The Shechina departed from him. Let me read this is a Medrash. The Medrash is Bereishis Shabbat Parsha Samach Gimel. Hunogid alayem in Ksivkan. Doesn't say that Hunogid in the present tense. It says Nogid Hoya. The Medrash focuses on the word Hoya in reference to the Nogid. El Nogid Hoya b'loshen Ovar. Why? Same idea. Mishum Shenidlam Mimenu Ruach Hakodesh Lefonim Hoya Hashem Imo V'lo. Ata, but not anymore. Okay, now the question is, why would Ezra insult Pinchas? Why is this necessary? So in Rabbi Eisenman, in his beautiful commentary on Divrei Hayamim, suggests, if I'm not mistaken, this is his suggestion, that Ezra is trying to give chizuk to Klal Yisrael. And he's saying, they see the glory of the Bayis Sheni. It's nothing compared to what was the Bayis Rishon. Either they were survivors, we know that, they were crying. When the youngsters were celebrating, the Zakenim were crying. And they were saying, this is a Beis HaMikdash. This is nothing Kenegik, nothing like the glory of the, that we remember the Bayis Rishon. And many people, we could assume, who were not present during the time of the Bayis Rishon, sensed that this was nothing compared to what used to be. So people were in a state of despair. They had no yearning to proceed and try to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So he was giving chizuk. He's saying, look, you can't expect everything to last forever. Pinchas was a very great person. The Shechina was taken away from him. It's right, because he made a mistake. But he was still Pinchas. He was still known to be a very great person. Obviously, he had a very Pinchas lived for 300 years, and he was alive during the time of Pilegesh B'Giv. The Pasuk makes mention that he was alive during the time of Pilegesh B'Giv. In fact, he did not protest what was taking place in Binyamin, and the reason why he did not protest, because he did not have the Shechina, he did not have the power to protest. Hashem took it away from him. But yet, Pinchas goes down in history as a very great person. So just because a person loses some of his shine, his luster, doesn't mean it's all over. So just because Klal Yisrael lost the Bayis Rishon, we lost certain key elements of Shechina that were present during the time of the Bayis Rishon, doesn't mean call it quits. We have to do the best that we can and go forward and proceed and rebuild the best that we can. And he's using Pinchas ben Elazar as an example. We have now a new set of gatekeepers. Obviously, these gatekeepers are nothing compared to the glory of the old generation of gatekeepers. Now, gatekeeper obviously wasn't just a person that stood there like a... just
security guard.
Obviously, we're totally missing something. Totally missing something of what it meant to be a gatekeeper. If they had a train, it wasn't like, you know, you're changing of the guards. You go to Washington. You ever go to Washington and watch the changing of the guards by the grave of the unknown soldier? You ever see that?
Yes.
I remember when I was a little kid, we went on a Pirchei trip. And, you know, they're very serious, the guards. And the guys in the church, they were a bunch of letzanim, these little kids, they were trying so hard to make the guard laugh. They were making Zechil Hashem. They were making all these faces and all these funny things. And then the guard, they're trained to do this, the guard started screaming at them. Like the guard, he came out of formation and he gave them Musa. I guess it's part of a script. It's also part of the training of what you're supposed to say. And they got very scared. Okay, but in any event, it's not the same. This is an idea that he presents. Let's go further. Zechai, now we come to Pasuk Chavav. Zechai ben Mishlemya. Shoyer Pesach Le'ohel Moed. Another person. He was another distinguished person. He was the guard. The guard of the opening to the Ohel Moed. Now what does this mean? That we're calling here the Ohel Moed. Are we referring here to the Mishkan, or are we referring here to the Beis HaMikdash? Or similarly, of course, we're referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're calling the Beis HaMikdash with the term the Ohel Moed. Why? This idea is expressed by Rabbi Eisenman very often in this Sefer, because Ezra is trying to say that the Beis HaMikdash is a reincarnation, so to speak, of the Mishkan. It's not just a building. This is the same, the equivalent of what we had, the Mishkan in the Midbar. This is what the Beis HaMikdash is. So therefore he interchanges the vocabulary with bias and ohel to emphasize this is not just a building. This is equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan. And you have to treat it with that degree of sanctity and that seriousness. Pasuk of Aleph in the Mitzudos, Shar Pesach, Gam Hu, Hayashemesh Shar Pesach, he also was a guardian of the opening of the Ohel Moed. Let's go to Pasuk of Beis, Kulam Haberurim, all of the people mentioned above, they were all select people, chosen people, Lishaarim, to be gatekeepers, Basipim means the mezuzos, the doorposts. Now we have a grand total. Mosayim Ushneim Osar, 212. Hema, these Kohanim who were chosen to serve in these posts, they all lived Bechatzrehem, in their courtyards. They did not live in cities, even though the Levim were given cities. We learned that in the beginning of the Sefer. We learned that in Ezra. Yet these gatekeepers chose not to live in the actual city, but to live in the courtyard which was adjacent on the outskirts of the city. Why? Maybe because it was easier to travel back and forth, or they wanted to live a life of precious. They didn't want to live like the good life in the city with all of the hustle and bustle and all of the commotion. They wanted to seclude themselves into a spiritual life where they can be properly prepared to do their duty in the Beis HaMikdash. His Yachsam, Hema, all of them were of the best stock. They can trace their lineage. And all in these 212 people that served in these posts were established by Yisad, David, Ushmuel, by David HaMelech, and Shmuel, the one that anointed David, Haroeh. Who was Shmuel? Shmuel was a prophet. We know that a prophet is called a Roeh. We have this in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, yeah, that Lefanim, in ancient times, a prophet, a Navi. Navi means Niv Sefasayim, utterance of their lips. A Roeh has a whole different connotation. Chazon Yeshayahu, a vision, people who see things into the future. Be'emunasam. Now, Be'emunasam is a very difficult word to translate. It appears many times in these next few psukim and throughout Sefer Divrei Hayamim. The way the Mitzudos consistently translates Be'emunasam means permanence. It's not what we're familiar with. We are more familiar with the other choice of interpretation by most of the other commentators of faith, faithfulness. That David and Shmuel established that there shall be mishmaros, there shall be 212 people, or there shall be people that will serve as gatekeepers in their appointed times, and these people shall act with faith. They shall be loyal. Only people who are faithful can be selected to serve in these posts. That's one approach. That's how we normally translate the word emuna. Emuna means faith. However, the mitzvot we'll see in a few moments means permanence. There's going to be a cycle, a permanent cycle of 24 mishmaros, and each mishmar will rotate weekly, and this will go on forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar to that, it's a word, omein.
Vayihi omein, to nurture, to raise.
To someone who's reliable, who's there for the task.
Who's there for you. That's how they explain the word emunah comes from the word omein. Because a child, what is emunah? The faith a child has in his mother. A child knows, the child has no dais. He's not worried that he's going to not get food. It's just natural. Because his mother is his omein. Vayihi omein es hadasa. The mother raised the child. The child has full faith in his mother, an infant. And that's the type of faith that Kadosh Baruch Hu demands of us in relation to him. So let's see the Mitzvot Pasach Habeis, the complex Pasach. Kulam Haibrurim. All of these people were select. So the way the Mitzvot learns that the number of selected individuals is going from the future of the Pasach. Liyos to be She'arim, to be gatekeepers. Lishmar to guard Basipim, to guard the Mezuzos, the doorposts. Hayu Mosayim, 200 Vyudbeis, Reish Yudbeis. With Nechemya Nemar, problems, and Nechemya, the number is different, the other number is 170 something. Nemar, but Mitzvah and Pachos, a much smaller number, I think 170 something there. Kiloch, why? So this is a very big question, a very big mystery, which all the Mfarshim discuss. The Mitzudah solution is as follows. Kilechoshav Shamrak Hashomim B'machane Leviya Hu Har Habayis V'kan Kolal Kulam. There it's a partial, it's only discussing the people that are guarding the Machane, the Har Habayis, the guardians, but here we're including people more than just the Har Habayis, even the people that stood guard by the Mishkan, by the entrance to the Azara itself. Now, I don't have the calculation. It's a very detailed calculation in the art scroll by Eisenman of how many guards actually stood. He goes to different commentators, and he has one very interesting approach. If you make a very precise calculation based upon what it says in the Mishnah Masechet Tumim and Masechet Midos and other sources, it comes out to 210. They needed 210 people to stand guard at all of the various posts. Okay, I don't have the calculation for you. What? Well, no, there are many posts. You have around the Azara. There are many places to stand guard. 210. That's the calculation he makes. 200.
How many guards did you have?
210.
In other words, one guard per post.
Yes, one guard per post. One guard per post, 200. So what about the extra two? So he suggests the other two were administrators. There are two people to be in charge of. That's what he says. That's his suggestion. Now that means he's saying there are 210. That means when we have over here this number 212. We're not giving you the total number of Levium that stood guard because it's impossible just to have 212 people working 24/7. They have to go eat. They have to go on vacation. They have to go back to their family. So there must have been what? Relief. So there must have been thousands. So the number 212 refers to the posts, the people that actually stood guard at any given time. And that's also not so clear. There's a question if they stood guard by at night or they stood guard by day as well. We know that Kohanim also served as guards. So there are a lot of different variables. How many guards, day, night. But according to the approach, the most important thing to take out of this approach is the number 212 are not the number of people, total sum of people that had positions. These are the number of posts, the number of stations in the Temple Mount, the whole area, the whole complex where someone had to stand guard. How many people were hired, were appointed to fill these positions? There must have been thousands. Thousands of Kolavim, which would rotate on a weekly basis or daily basis. That's not the entire 24 Mishmaris. However, other commentators disagree, and they say it's true, there were 200, and you make all these calculations. That's probably true at a later point in time when things were more developed. Over here, we're dealing here when the Bayis Sheni was in its infancy, and it was very, they just had a few people. And And they only guarded a few they only could put up people in a few different posts. Other places, loose. So you don't have to have a guard. There's no biblical requirement to have a guard, 212 guards. So you have 10, 15. And the total number of Levim that were serving at this time on a full-time basis, who wrote in among themselves, was 212. Very big difference in interpretation of the pasuk. Either there were a total of 212 people, and that was it. It was a club of 212. No one else was allowed. And from the 212, they did what they did. They rotated, and they managed as many posts as they could manage, as they can handle. Or no, there were 212 positions, and that were filled by thousands of Levim. So that's how the Mitzudos learns. And then this has to be taken into consideration with the discrepancy, what it says in Nehemiah, where this, we count the same thing, the same point in time, and we have a different number, what the number there, and there are other mahalachim to explain the discrepancy, but we'll do with the Mitzudos, who just says that we're including a select number of position posts, not all of them. And there's something over here, let's do maybe a few more psukim, and then we'll come back and discuss this pasuk of Gimel, Veheim, Vei Uvineim, Al Hasharm, these 212 people, let's assume, and their children, Al Hasharim, were assigned to the gates, Leveis Hashem, Leveis Ha'ohel, Lemishmaros, according to their watches. Now there are two expressions here which seem to be redundant. Leveis Hashem, Leveis Ha'ohel. Why the repetition? So the Mitzudos Kedarko says that it's a poetic. He's really going back to what he says in the Vim Rishonim and the Vim Achreinim in the Vim, not in Suvim. But it's poetic. It's poetic. Look at what he their children. Let's learn like the Mitzudos. There were 212 people hired, appointed. They served as guards, and their children also served together with them. Haim, they, and their children. So they had help. Their children assisted the parents. And we have here Al Leveis Hashem, Leveis, or why the repetition? So Pasuk Chav Gimel, look in the Mitzudos, Haniskadim Lamala, Im Bineihem, with their children, Hayim Mamunim Al Hashem, Lishma Mohem, Leveis Hashem, Leveis Ha'ohel. What's the repetition? Hu Kofal, Inyin, Bimilim Shainois, Litosefes Beyer. Just like we do this often in, let's say, Yeshaya, where you repeat the same theme twice, that's what's being done over here. Limishmaros, lo shahayu kulam shayim b'cholis. Does not mean that all these 212 people and their children they served continuously 24/7. That is humanly impossible. Elohayu chalugim limishmaros. They were divided among watches. L'cholechot shayim b'zmano b'cholizah chalili. Each one watched during their specific appointed time, and they rotated. That's the word limishmaros. Now, other Mefarshim say that when it says Lebeis Hashem, Lebeis Ha'ohel is the theme that we mentioned before. That what's happening now in the Beis Hashem parallels what happened hundreds of years ago in the Mishkan, which is called the Beis Ha'ohel. Ezra is trying to say, don't make light of what we're doing. What we're doing now is a reincarnation of the Mishkan. It's the Beis Hashem. We're doing now here these Mishmaros, the Beis Hashem, to parallel what was done in the Beis Ha'ohel, back in the time of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a whole new translation for Ohel. Ohel literally means the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mishkan. The Beis Hashem means the Beis HaMikdash. Now this pasuk here is an extremely, in these two pasuk that we mentioned, pasuk of Beis and pasuk of Gimel, is an extremely important pasuk. It's teaching us about the establishment of the Mishmaros. That's the last word of pasuk of Beis. And it's told us that these Mishmaros were established, Yisad, it's a very good word, Yisad David Ushmuel Haroeh. Who is Shmuel? Don't forget that Shmuel is not just an ordinary person. He was a roeh. Yep. He was a prophet, and we give him an unusual title. You know, there are different types of titles. You can call a person just a rabbi. You can call the Rav Harashi, Moshe, Lord Rabbeinu, the Lord. You can call him all these different titles, and here he gets a very unique title called the Haroeh. It appears the word Haroeh is like the chief. It's like a chief prophet. It's like prophet on steroids.
Prophet in chief.
What?
It would also be like the one who is a posek.
it's a different type of word for prophet. Like, it has more oomph. There's something more to it, and that's and we chose to mention this title, and also Be'emunasam. Did I skip Pasuk of Beis? That would be terrible. I didn't read the entire thing. Let's go back to Pasuk of Beis in the Mitzudos.
No, we did read.
Of prophecy, Tyler Rowan. Giving a very high time. But look, one thing I left about the word emunim. That's a very important word, how he translates this. Go back to Pasuk of Beis in the Mitzudos. Kulam berudim, ratzai mispar kulam shalom nevin lehiyo shonim lishmar besipim, chayu mosayim v'yud beis, uvnechem yinema, we did already, heima, next goes to the next words, heima b'chat serehem, heima min hayashvim b'chat serehem, tzrivo sirbu shalom, they lived around Yerushalayim, lios kerevim lovo lebeis hamikdash, the reason why they live in the courtyards is because they wanted to be close to the Beis HaMikdash to come quickly. They did not live in the actual cities. They lived in courtyards that surrounded Yerushalayim. Hisya Chasam, Bohailam Sefer Yuchusam, very important to have trace your lineage. Ein Hashchina Shara Ella Al Hamishpachos Miuchosos Bi Yisrael. Heima Yisat, Rotzalaymar, Bemispar Hazeh, this number, 212 it seems, Yisad David Ushmuel Hanavi. Okay, so it's substituting the word Roy for the word Navi. Lihos, here's where the Mitzudas goes off on his unique interpretation, which is consistent with everything he says later on. Miskayem Bitakonas Ki Yumon. This is going to be permanent. Emuna means permanence. It's a new translation. It's not what it says in the article Siddur. Animam Emuna Shlema. It's a whole new translation. Lebal Yipachsu Mireish Yud Beis Sha'arim. It should not be less than 212. It was established that there shall be at least 212 guards. And the next pasuk fills in, and the guards shall serve in their mishmaros, lemishmaros, in their watches. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion, how he just emphasized the word be'emunasam, inyan kiyum, v'chein v'hoye emunas itecha, which we translate to mean the faith of your times. He's translating emunas itecha to mean the kiyum, the existence, the permanence of the times. The time goes on, you have no choice. The night, day, seasons, and so on. L'mishmaros in the Mitzudos Tzion, L'mishmaros, Davar Hamutal al Harbe bin Adam, al Kol Echad Bizman Ha Kavu Olo, Kori Mishmar, Ki Alehem Lishmar Lebal Yavu Es Hazman, they have to serve their watch, their shift. Okay, now, let me read you over here a very beautiful Chiddush from the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, this is really based on a Yerushalmi. First, let me read you the Gemara Masechta Tainis. Everyone knows this Gemara. Everyone knows there are 24 Mishmaros. We discussed a few times, and probably during the year, the time when it gets the most attention is on Tisha B'Av in the Kina Chavatzeles Hasharon, where there are 24 expressions, and each expression describes one of concludes with one of the 24 Mishmaros. And it either mentions them by name, or by the city in which they lived, or by the aver which they committed, and they were deserving of punishment. And each of Mishmar at some point in time moved into their own city, and unfortunately they were destroyed during the time of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And we mourn over their loss in that Kina. 24 different sections, each section devoted to one of the Mishmaros. Now, how did it come to be 24? So the Gemara in Tainis says, I'm reading you the Gemara in Masechta Tainis, Moshe tikein lochem liyishol shmoine mishmaros. Originally there were 8 watches. Arba'a from Elazar, the Arba'a mi Isama. There are 2 leftover children of Aaron. Nadav Aviu died. It was Elazar the Isamar. Elazar the Isamar were divided into 4 different families, and each of those 4 provided a shift for the service of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. But David, that was also from the Kohanim, not just from the Levim, that was from the Kohanim as well. That was really the Kohanim, and the Levim followed. But David and Shmuel, along came David and Shmuel. Then Midan al Eshem Yarba, David and Shmuel expanded it from 8 to 24. Shenemar, and the Gemara Masechta Tainis quotes this pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. So you learn Masechta Tainis, you come, you have an appreciation, you learn Divrei Hayamim, this pasuk here, Hema Yisad David Ushmuel Haroyeh Be'emunasam. Now the problem is, Shmuel was long gone by the time David did this. How do we know? Because this appears later in Divrei Hayamim, later towards the end of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. Towards the end, Perek Chaf, something like that, Pas Perek Chaf, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, one of the later prakim of Divrei Hayamim, it's clear, it actually says that David, at the end of his life, established the 24 Mishmaros. At that point in time, Shmuel was certainly no longer living. So what then does it mean that Shmuel established? So the Mepharshim explained that Shmuel taught David, when Shmuel anointed David as Melech, he gave him some hands-on training. This is how you have to conduct yourself, so on and so forth. We don't have all that, any records, but he told him that you are allowed to expand, or you should at some point in time in your Malchus, the Mishmaros from 8 to 24. That's a technical point that's important to mention. That is another very important Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says that asked the question, I'll read a few what it says here, one moment. All the Mepharshim are bothered. Why does it have to mention here that Shmuel was a prophet, a Roya, when he established, when he was Yisad, these Levim into the number 212 and appointed them to serve Limishmaros in watches? So the answer is based upon the Yerushalmi, explained by both the Chassam Sofer and the Chacham Tzvi. The Chassam Sofer says to look into a certain Sefer, and the Chacham Tzvi elaborates. It's based upon a Yerushalmi in the Sechta Megillah that is based upon a halacha. What is the halacha? Here it is. Hayushalmi Sof Mesechta Sukkah, not Megillah. Kol Seif Al Hamila Bepasek Be'emunasam Ki Hoysa Beze Emuna Umanus Gedolah in Mishmar Noitel Vishina. There was an unusual umnus, skill, unusual skill that a Mishmar did not take twice. Mysterious, what does that mean? So it means as follows. If a person living during the time of when Yovel is in operation, which means the majority of Klal Yisrael is living on the land, or there are other conditions that have to be true for it to be in operation, if a person donates a stay achuza, if you have an ancestral plot of land and you donate it as a donation to the Beis Hamikdash, you're always advertising on the radio and you pass buildings, give 5% of your estate for Jewish education, for charity, right? You always see these things, give from your estate. So a person, you know what, I'm going to go give land. I have a summer home somewhere in this part of Eretz Yisrael. You know what? I want that whole plot of land to be given as a donation to the Beis Hamikdash. And he gives it when he's alive. So the halach is he has 1 year to redeem it. If he fails to redeem that property within 1 year, the gizbar, the person in charge of the assets of the Beis Hamikdash, the treasurer, takes possession. What does he do with it? He liquidates it. He puts it on the auction block, and he sells it for cash. Whoever wants it, come take it. There's an auction, someone comes along and buys it. Wonderful, the Beis Hamikdash now, $1 million in their pocket. Okay. Now, 25 years later, it's Yovel. Oh, Yovel, what happens, Yovel? The property returns to its original owner. Does the property go back to the person that was makdish to the Beis Hamikdash? No. If you're makdish your assets, your property, your ancestral land to the Beis Hamikdash, and you fail to redeem it, and the Kohen sells it to someone, and now it's Yovel, the land returns to the Gizbar, returns to the Beis Hamikdash, returns to the treasurer, and who gets it? It's a Gezeres HaKosev. The Kohanim who are on duty get it. They get it. They get it that whoever's on duty that week will get the property that week. That's what's going to happen. So now the problem is, who is going to be on duty the week when when Yovel arrives? So if you'll have the same Mishmar on duty the same every year, you'll make some convoluted formula. You take as a mathematician will fix the Mishmaros. Every 50 years, we'll give them Mishmar number 7 will be the one that will be on duty, and Mishmar number 7 over the history of Klal Yisrael of 2,000 years, whatever, will become extremely wealthy. Because over 50 years, there are many people that donate their assets to the Beis HaMikdash, that's the way it was, and they were sold, and then when Yovel arrived, it was given back to the Beis HaMikdash, and whoever was on duty that week of Yovel would receive possession. So they wanted to make a fair system where equally divide among the Mishmaros. Problem is, you don't know how long Yovel will be in existence. Now, the prophets knew that the Beis HaMikdash will not be around forever, because Klal Yisrael would not be able to maintain this degree of sanctity, of holiness, that would be deserving of Beis HaMikdash. And when there will be a Churban, and the Jewish people will be exiled, there's no Yovel. Like Bezman HaZeh, there's no Yovel. We don't have Yovel, because in order for there to be Yovel, you have to have the majority of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael. You have to have the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know all the halachas, but you have to have a lot of conditions. But one of the conditions is, you have to be living in Eretz Yisrael. There has to be a Beis HaMikdash. So Shmuel HaRoeh, who was a prophet, he saw that Klal Yisrael in their existence would have, at least from his time, would have not more than 24 Yovelos. Now, how do you know 24 Yovelos? So, what?
1,200 years.
Exactly. 1,200. It's coming out to be exactly 1,200 years. What's the calculation? The Bayis Rishon was built for 410 years. The Bayis Sheni was for 420. Now there was Yovel from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael. How many years did they build the Beis HaMikdash after they came into Eretz Yisrael? 440 years. The Beis HaMikdash was built 440. 440 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. When did Yovel become operational? When they came into Eretz Yisrael. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, Yovel was in operation. Correct?
Okay.
Yovel was in operation. It was 480 years. The Pasuk says, since Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, the Beis HaMikdash was built exactly 480 years from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim.
We've already gone over 1,200.
Right.
So we're up to
400.
Each, so that's 440 years plus 410 years is 850 years, correct?
Yeah,
then there is 70 years of nothing, Churban.
Okay.
Then we have another 420 years of the Bayis Sheni. That's 1,270. Now, there's one catch. You have to look at the Gemara Masechet Megillah, and Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, and it's clear in the Gemara that there was a 70-year period during the time of the Bayis Rishon that there was no Yovel in operation. For 70 years it was suspended because of the Golus of Sancheirif. Sancheirif, and I don't know the details, this Gemara is quoted in the Gemara Masechet Megillah, there was from the time of Sancheirif until the time of Yoshiyahu, there was 70 years where Yovel was not in operation. So that reduces the number from 1,270 to 1,200. Comes out, there were exactly 1,200 years when operation was in operation. What is 1,200 divided by 50? 24. So in Shmuel and David, that must have already been 8. You have to know the calculation, because David and Shmuel are instituting when they're adding to the number 24 already after it's been in operation for a number of years, since the time of Yehoshua when they came into Eretz Yisrael. But in the big picture of things, from the beginning to the end, there were 1,200 years in the history of Klal Yisrael, according to the Chassam Sefer, and according to the Chacham Tzvi, and according to what, how, based on the Chassam Sefer, the Chacham Tzvi, the way they're explaining this idea, I have the Sefer, Oitzer Nachmade Oira, from the Torah of the Chassam Sefer, it's a Likot, it comes from the Droshes, Chela Gimel of the Drosh, there are three volumes of Droshes. So there in the Chela Gimel, I'm not sure what he's Perik Hay. I'm not exactly sure the exact location he has over here. Page 17, he has exactly where to find it. There are 1,200 years of Yovel. Divide that by 50, we get 24. How can Shmuel know to divide the Kohanim into 24 Mishmaros so that it will be fair, there will be a fair distribution of the assets of the Beis HaMikdash to the Kohanim who are on duty when Yovel begins? The only way you can make that calculation is with prophecy. So therefore he's called David and Shmuel Haroya. He's Shmuel Haroya. That's why he made the 24 Mishmars. There are more details that have to be worked out, but this is just a basic idea, basic idea of why we have here 24 Mishmaros. Alright, so that concludes the Mishmaros. I think this is a good place to stop.